Hi, I'm Diane Lukesh.
And this is Mick, the Doctor of Digital.
And welcome to Music 101. Music 101 is created to empower music itself, and legendary icon in the music industry. Another week, another great episode, giving thanks through music, a Music 101 Thanksgiving special.
And it's that time of year, so thank you to Canada, already celebrated, but it's coming to the United States. It's Thanksgiving. It's more than just turkey and family gatherings. It's a holiday with a surprisingly rich musical tradition spanning pop, rock, soul, jazz, country, and everything in between. While Christmas dominates the holiday music landscape, Thanksgiving has inspired artists across generations to create songs that celebrate gratitude, family, and the harvest season. In this special Music 101 episode, we explore the music legends who wrote Thanksgiving hits, the stories behind these songs, and how different genres have approached this unique holiday.
Indeed. I'm assuming everyone knows there are thousands of Christmas songs, but Thanksgiving seems like the forgotten holiday when it comes to music. Why is that?
You're absolutely right. It's fascinating when you think about it. Christmas has dominated the holiday music market for decades, but Thanksgiving occupies this interesting middle ground. Part of it is timing. Thanksgiving happiness just 3 to 4 weeks before Christmas, so radio stations and retailers are already pivoting to Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving, if not annoyingly before. But there's also something deeper. Christmas lends itself to commercial music production because it's gift-giving season, and the music industry has always followed the money. Thanksgiving, on the other hand, is about reflection, gratitude, and family, themes that are beautiful but perhaps less commercially exploitable. That said, the songs that do exist for Thanksgiving are often more intimate and heartfelt. Artists who write Thanksgiving music are usually doing it because they genuinely want to capture something meaningful about the holiday, not just because they're chasing a hit single. We've got everything from Vince Guaraldi's jazz compositions for Charlie Brown to Mary Chapin Carpenter's folk-influenced ballads, and even humorous takes from comedians like Adam Sandler. The variety is actually quite impressive when you start digging into it. In conclusion, Thanksgiving music exists in this beautiful, understated space where artistry often takes precedence over commercialism, and that gives us some genuinely special songs.
So, Mr. Mick, so if we are talking about a modern classic that really captures the spirit of Thanksgiving, where do we start?
Mary Chapin Carpenter's Thanksgiving song is probably the gold standard for contemporary Thanksgiving music. Carpenter, who's had a remarkable career in country and folk music with multiple Grammy Awards to her name, wrote this song as a meditation on what Thanksgiving really means. What makes it so powerful is how she weaves together imagery of family gatherings with deeper themes of shelter, welcome, and inclusivity. The song opens with this beautiful image of being grateful for each hand that we hold gathered around the table, and expands from there to include not just family, but neighbors, friends, and even the friendless. That's a pretty radical expression and expansion of what Thanksgiving song can be about. Carpenter's songwriting has always been known for its intelligence and emotional depth. She's not someone who writes superficial lyrics. Throughout her career, she's tackled everything from feminism to social justice to personal struggle, and she brings the same thoughtfulness to a holiday song. The musical arrangement is relatively simple, which is typical of Carpenter's style. She lets the lyrics do the heavy lifting, supported by acoustic instrumentation that creates warmth without overwhelming the message. The song has become a favorite in folk and American circles, though it never achieved massive mainstream chart success. Well, that's okay. Sometimes the best songs aren't the ones that dominate the radio. They're the ones that people discover and keep coming back year after year because they genuinely mean something. In conclusion, Mary Chapin Carpenter gave us a Thanksgiving song that treats the holiday with the seriousness and beauty it deserves, creating something that feels both timeless and deeply relevant.
Mr. Mick, jazz seems like an interesting fit for Thanksgiving. Tell me about Vince Guaraldi and Charlie Brown connection.
Oh, this is one of the favorite songs and stories in all of holiday music. Vince Guaraldi was a Bay Area jazz pianist who already had some success. His song, Cast Your Fate to the Wind, won a Grammy in 1963. But what made him a household name was his work on the Peanuts animated specials. Everyone knows A Charlie Brown Christmas from 1965, which featured Guaraldi's now iconic compositions like Linus and Lucy and Christmas Time is Here. That soundtrack became the second best-selling jazz album in history, second only to Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. So when CBS commissioned A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving in 1973, Guaraldi was the obvious choice. His Thanksgiving theme captures everything beautiful about the holiday. It's warm, inviting, gentle, and contemplative all at once. Guaraldi had this incredible ability to create melodies that work perfectly for animation while still being sophisticated enough to stand on their own as jazz compositions. He typically recorded with bassist Fred Marshall and drummer Jerzy Grinnelli, creating this intimate trio sound that feels cozy and personal. The Thanksgiving theme features his signature piano style, melodic, rhythmically interesting, but never showy. It's music that makes you feel welcome and at peace. Tragically, Guaraldi died suddenly in 1976 at just 47 years old, but his music continues to define how multiple generations experience the holidays through the Peanuts specials. In conclusion, Vince Guaraldi proved that instrumental jazz could capture the essence of Thanksgiving just as powerfully as any song with lyrics, and his contribution to holiday music remains unmatched in the jazz world.
Ms. Ermick, I heard Thelonious Monk wrote a Thanksgiving song. That seems unexpected.
Thelonious Monk was one of the most unique voices in jazz history, and yes, he wrote Stuffy Turkey in 1954. Now, Monk was known for his unconventional approach to everything. His compositions featured unusual chord progressions, angular melodies, and rhythmic surprises that initially puzzled listeners, but eventually revolutionized jazz. Stuffy Turkey is quintessential Monk in that it's playful and whimsical while still being harmonically sophisticated. The title itself is humorous. It's a pun that works on multiple levels, referring both to the Thanksgiving turkey and to stuffiness in the sense of being overly formal or conventional, which Monk definitely was not. The piece features his distinctive piano style, where he'd hit notes with this percussive, almost choppy attack that made the piano sound completely different from how anyone else played it. Monk's compositions were often described as puzzles. They'd have these unexpected twists and turns that challenge both the musicians playing them and the audiences listening. Stuffy Turkey became a minor standard in the jazz world, recorded by various artists over the years who wanted to explore Monk's compositional genius. What's interesting is that Monk wrote relatively few songs with holiday themes, so Stuffy Turkey stands out in his catalog as this quirky outlier. But it describes and demonstrates how even the most serious and innovative jazz artists could approach Thanksgiving with humor and creativity. In conclusion, Thelonious Monk brought his revolutionary jazz sensibility to Thanksgiving, creating a song that's both entertaining and musically challenging in true Monk fashion.
What about the classic crooners and big band leaders? Did they get in on Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. Cab Calloway, who was one of the most charismatic performers of the swing era, recorded Everybody Eats When They Come to My House in 1931. Now, that isn't explicitly a Thanksgiving song, but it perfectly captures the spirit of the holiday: hospitality, abundance, and bringing people together over food. Calloway was known for his high-energy performances and his hidey-ho scat singing style that made him a sensation at the Cotton Club in Harlem. He led one of the most popular big bands of the 1930s and 40s, and his showmanship influenced everyone from Dizzy Gillespie to Michael Jackson decades later. Everybody Eats When They Come to My House features that classic swing rhythm: upbeat, danceable, infectious. The lyrics celebrate the idea that no one leaves hungry from the narrator's house, which is fundamentally what Thanksgiving is about. Calloway's vocal delivery is exuberant and welcoming, making listeners feel like they're invited to the party. The song has been covered by various artists over the years, including a notable version by Billie Holiday. What makes it work as a Thanksgiving song is its genuine spirit of generosity and community. Calloway wasn't writing about obligation or duty. He was celebrating the joy of feeding people and bringing them together. That's a powerful message that transcends any specific holiday and speaks to our best impulses of human nature. In conclusion, Cab Calloway's contribution to the Thanksgiving musical canon reminds us that the holiday is fundamentally about opening your doors and your heart to others, delivered with an infectious energy that made swing music so irresistible.
Bing Crosby is synonymous with holiday music, but was he part of the Thanksgiving tradition too, Mr. Mink?
Oh, absolutely. Bing Crosby was the king of holiday music, and while he's best known for White Christmas, which remains the best-selling single of all time, he also recorded I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For from the 1944 film Holiday Inn. And this is an important context. Holiday Inn was actually the movie that introduced White Christmas to the world, so it already was a huge cultural phenomenon. The film was built around the concept of a performing inn that's open only on holidays, so it needed songs for various celebrations throughout the year, not just Christmas. Irving Berlin wrote the music, and his songwriting genius combined with Crosby's warm baritone created pure magic. I've Got Plenty to Be Thankful For became a chart topper, which was typical for Crosby. He dominated the music industry throughout the 1940s in a way that's hard to imagine today. His recording style was revolutionary because he was one of the first singers to really take advantage of the microphone. Before electronic amplification, singers had to project to reach the back of the theater, which led to a more operatic style. Crosby developed this intimate, conversational approach that made listeners feel like he was singing directly to them. That style works perfectly for a Thanksgiving song about gratitude. It feels personal and sincere rather than performative. The song's message is straightforward. Despite whatever challenges life brings, there's always something to be grateful for. It's a sentiment that resonated deeply with Americans during World War II when the song was released, and it continues to resonate today. In conclusion, Bing Crosby brought his unmatched ability to communicate warmth and sincerity to Thanksgiving music, creating a standard that has endured for 8 decades.
Mr. Mink, folk music and Thanksgiving seems like they should go hand in hand. Tell me about Arlo Guthrie and Alice Restaurant.
Now we're talking about one of the most unique Thanksgiving traditions in American music history. Alice's Restaurant Massacre by Arlo Guthrie is an 18-minute long talking blues that tells the rambling, hilarious story of Arlo's arrest for littering on Thanksgiving Day 1965 and how that arrest later prevented him from being drafted into the Vietnam War. The song became a countercultural anthem and a Thanksgiving tradition. Radio stations still play it in its entirety every Thanksgiving. Arlo is the son of Woody Guthrie, the legendary folk singer who wrote This Land Is Your Land, so he grew up immersed in folk music and social activism. Alice's Restaurant perfectly demonstrates the folk tradition of using music to tell stories and make social commentary. The song is structured as a shaggy dog story with musical interludes, and Arlo's deadpan delivery makes the absurdity even funnier. He recorded it in 1967, and it became such a phenomenon that they made a movie based on it in 1969, directed by Arthur Penn, with Arlo playing himself. What's brilliant around the song is how it uses this personal anecdote about getting arrested for dumping garbage to make larger points about bureaucracy, the Vietnam War, and American society. The Thanksgiving setting isn't incidental. It's central to the story's irony. Here's the holiday about being thankful and coming together, and it leads to this cascade of absurd events that ultimately saves Arlo from going to war. The song has been performed live by Arlo thousands of times, and he's added new verses and updated references over the years, keeping it fresh while maintaining its essential character. In conclusion, Alice's Restaurant transformed Thanksgiving music by proving that holiday songs could be long, funny, subversive, and deeply meaningful all at once, creating a tradition that continues more than 50 years later.
Interesting, Mr. Mick. Country music is all about family and tradition. What Thanksgiving classic came from Nashville?
Country music has given us some of the most heartfelt Thanksgiving music, and Johnny Cash's Thanksgiving Prayer from 1993 might be the most moving of all. Cash recorded this late in his life. He was 61 years old and had been through tremendous personal struggles with addiction, divorce, and loss, but he'd also found redemption in faith. Thanksgiving Prayer is spoken more than sung, with Cash's deep baritone voice delivering a prayer of gratitude over minimal instrumental backing. It's incredibly intimate and vulnerable. Cash thanks God for the blessings in his life while acknowledging his failures and asking for strength to be better. What makes it so powerful is that it doesn't feel performative. It feels like you're overhearing a private moment. This was typical of Cash's later work, particularly the American recording series he did with producer Rick Rubin starting in 1994. Those albums stripped away the polish and presented Cash in his most raw, authentic form. Thanksgiving Prayer fits perfectly into that aesthetic. It's worth noting that Cash's relationship with Thanksgiving had personal significance. He married June Carter Cash on March 1, 1968, but they celebrated their life together every holiday thereafter. And Cash often spoke about how grateful he was for June's love and support in helping him overcome his demons. Country music has also always excelled at sincere emotion without irony, and Cash's Thanksgiving Prayer exemplifies that tradition. It's not trying to be clever or catchy. It's simply honest. In conclusion, Johnny Cash's Thanksgiving Prayer stands out as one of country music's greatest contributions to Thanksgiving, offering a model of how to express gratitude with complete sincerity and emotional truth.
Mr. Mick, soul music is all about feeling. What Thanksgiving songs came from that tradition?
Sly and the Family Stone's Thankful and Thoughtful from 1970 is a perfect example of how soul music approached Thanksgiving with both groove and genuine emotion. Sly Stone was one of the most innovative features and figures in music during the late 1960s and early 70s. He created this incredible fusion of rock, funk, soul, and psychedelia, and he had one of the first major racially integrated bands. Songs like Dance to the Music, Everyday People, and Family Affair dominated the charts and changed the sound of popular music. Thankful and Thoughtful came from a difficult period in Sly's life. He was struggling with drug addiction and the pressures of fame, but the song itself is uplifting and positive. It's built on a funky groove with horns, bass, and Sly's distinctive vocal delivery. The message is straightforward. Count your blessings and be grateful for what you have. What's interesting is how the song balances introspection with celebration. Sly sings about what he could have died, how things could have gone wrong, but instead he's still here and still has opportunities. That kind of gratitude born from surviving hard times give the song real weight. The Family Stone's tight harmonies and instrumental interplay create this sense of community and togetherness that perfectly captures what Thanksgiving should be about. The song never became a massive hit, but it's beloved among Sly's fans and represents soul music at its most thoughtful and genuine. In conclusion, Thankful and Thoughtful demonstrates how soul music could take Thanksgiving themes and infuse them with both musical sophistication and heartfelt emotion, creating something that moves both your body and your spirit.
Thanksgiving music seems different today, Mr. Mick, than it was decades ago. What's changed?
The evolution is really fascinating. In the modern era, we've seen Thanksgiving music become more diverse and more willing to embrace humor alongside sincerity. Kelly Clarkson's debut album, Thankful, from 2003, is a great example. Clarkson won the first season of American Idol in 2002, and her first album came out the following spring. While Thankful isn't explicitly a Thanksgiving album, the title and title track definitely connect to themes of gratitude. Clarkson was thankful for the opportunity American Idol gave her, thankful for her fans, and the album had captured that moment of breakthrough success. The album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 and sold over 4 million copies in the U.S. Songs like Miss Independent and The Trouble with Love Is showcase Clarkson's powerful vocals and help establish her as a serious artist, not just a reality TV winner. The pop rock song and sound of the album influenced a generation of female pop singers. Then you've got artists like Matthew West bringing contemporary Christian music into the Thanksgiving conversation with Gobble Gobble from 2011. That's a deliberately funny, family-friendly song that pokes fun at Thanksgiving traditions, overeating family dynamics, and the commercialization of holidays. Its music video has been viewed millions of times on YouTube, becoming a viral hit. What's interesting is that West didn't try to write something profound. He wrote something entertaining that families could enjoy together, and that's valuable too. It recognizes that not every Thanksgiving song needs to be deeply meaningful. Sometimes it's enough just to make people smile. Speaking of smiling, it is with Adam Sandler for his Thanksgiving song, Takes the Cake for the Comedic Song of the Season. Adam Sandler's Thanksgiving song, first performed on Saturday Night Live in 1992, occupies a strange and delightful corner of holiday American culture. While Christmas has carols, Easter has hymns, and even Halloween boasts entire playlists, Thanksgiving remains musically barren, an empty table waiting to be filled. Sandler stepped into that void with characteristic absurdity, offering a song that is less about the solemnity of gratitude and more about the goofy, awkward reality of family gatherings. Its charm lies in its lack of pretense, a celebration of turkey, elastic pants, mismatched relatives, and the chaotic sweetness of a holiday built on togetherness rather than spectacle. Sandler's comedic style is deceptively simple. His lyrics often pivot from wholesome nostalgia to bizarre non sequiturs, mirroring the way real Thanksgiving conversations meander from heartfelt updates to oddball stories and uncomfortable disclosures. Its playful clumsiness, the song captures something profoundly true about the holiday, the tension between gratitude and dysfunction, between tradition and improvisation. Thanksgiving isn't curated, it's lived. The song's humor becomes a kind of cultural mirror, reminding us that gratitude doesn't require perfection, just presence, warmth, and maybe a little cranberry sauce. Over time, Sandler's Thanksgiving song has become the unofficial anthem for the holiday, replayed on radio shows and playlists as reliably as the Macy's Parade. It endures because it doesn't try to be more than it is. It's a sonic equivalent of comfort food, warm, familiar, slightly silly, and exactly what you didn't realize you needed. In a culture often paralyzed by idealized images of holiday bliss, Sandler's song grants permission to embrace the messiness, to laugh at it even. And in doing so, it delivers a deeper expression of gratitude than many serious holiday songs ever manage. In conclusion, modern Thanksgiving music has embraced both sincerity and humor, reflecting a more diverse and playful approach to holiday music that connects with contemporary audiences in new ways.
In new ways, indeed, for the 21st century. Looking at all these songs together, Mr. Meg, what does the Thanksgiving music catalog tell us?
That's the perfect question to wrap up with. When you look at the complete landscape of Thanksgiving music across all these genres, jazz, country, soul, folk, pop, rock, and everything in between, several patterns emerge. First, Thanksgiving music tends to be more personal and less commercial than Christmas music. Artists write Thanksgiving songs because they genuinely want to express something about gratitude, family, or tradition, not because they're trying to create a hit single that'll sell products. Second, the best Thanksgiving songs embrace storytelling, whether it's Arlo Guthrie spending 18 minutes telling a rambling story, Johnny Cash speaking a prayer, or Mary Chapin Carpenter painting a picture of gathered hands around a table. These songs prioritize narrative and meaning over catchiness. Third, there's remarkable diversity in how different genres approach the same themes. Jazz gives us instrumental sophistication with Vince Guaraldi and playful experimentation with Thelonious Monk. Country gives us heartfelt sincerity with Johnny Cash. Soul gives us groove-based reflection with Sly Stone. Folk gives us social commentary with Arlo Guthrie. Each genre brings its own strengths to expressing gratitude and celebration. Fourth, Thanksgiving music reminds us that holidays don't need to be commercially dominated to be musically rich. The fact that there are fewer Thanksgiving songs than Christmas songs actually makes each one more special. When you put on Alice's Restaurant or the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving soundtrack or Mary Chapin Carpenter's Thanksgiving song, you're participating in a more intimate tradition. These songs feel like they belong to the people who love them rather than the music industry. In conclusion, the musical landscape of Thanksgiving teaches us that sometimes less is more, that sincerity matters more than commercial success, and that the best holiday music comes from artists who genuinely care about capturing something true and meaningful about the human experience of gratitude and togetherness.
Togetherness indeed. And Mr. Meg, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and wisdom to the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A Music 101 Thanksgiving special invites listeners into a heartfelt celebration where gratitude meets melody. This special's episode explores how songs from timeless hymns to our modern anthems have helped generations express appreciation, heal emotional wounds, and strengthen family bonds during these holiday season. Mr. Mink, would you like to plug in something?
Sure, I appreciate the opportunity. Write the book, grow the business, connect with me on LinkedIn, GMIC, the Dr. Digital Smith, PhD. Also listen to the Dr. Digital podcast, pick up a couple volumes I have on Amazon, that is Burning American On Track, Ian Hunter. If you want to support your artists as we all want to in music, listen and connect with True Fans.
True fans, indeed. Yes, people, let's support Mr. Mick, the Dr. Digital, and please do listen to our baby podcast, Mental Health 101. Mental Health 101 is created to empower our mental health awareness. So, Mr. Mick, thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Thank you, my friend. Till next time, Deus Vult.
Welcome, people. See you soon.